Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to That's Politics, and today I am once again joined by my sister, Sam, and we are going to talk about the No Kings protest that happened in our town. And as many of you probably already know, there were large-scale protests all across the country this past Saturday, October 18th, and my sister and I went to one of our local protests. So let's set the scene. It was a relatively warm afternoon here in Michigan. It was overcast, and on the horizon you could see this like thunderstorm that was rolling in. But despite the oncoming storm, about 300 people lined the roads outside of our local mall, and people had their protest signs, they had their lawn chairs, people were playing music, and as you'll hear in some of the interviews that I conducted, cars were honking as they drove past, and there was a constant cheering. I was at work when it first started, but you can hear the honking from a bit of ways away from the protest. Honestly, when we drove up on the protest, I had full body chills. Seeing so many people come out was honestly moving. Sam, how did you feel when you drove past the protest on your way to come get me?
I was just shocked because it's such a small town and there was like a really big turnout for the protest. And I just thought it was cool that so many people came out, and especially like people of different generations too. So it wasn't just like a certain stereotype. It was like a vast majority of people.
Now, we've never gone to a protest, and I don't think we've ever seen a protest in person. And although I was there in like a professional capacity, it was still moving to see that many people come out. Now, again, as I've already stated, I talked with a few people in attendance and asked them why they were there at the protest. I only asked for each person's first name out of respect for their privacy. And of course, given the heated climate surrounding retaliation against dissent of the current administration, protesting used to be something that you were proud to show your face at. But because of the doxing trend that we've been seeing, I don't blame a lot of people for concealing their identity, and one of the people that we interviewed even gave us a fake name, which is, I feel like, reasonable. So without further ado, let's get into that interview, and the names that they have chosen to go by is Alice and then Emma. The audio for this interview is not the best because we had some technical difficulties that took way too long to try and sort out, which was infuriating, but that's normal. But they had a lot of things to say about why they went to the protest. It might be a little hard to understand because of the tech issues that we had, but this is what Alice and Emma had to say about why they came out to the protest.
To try to make our voices heard and make sure that more people are aware of what's going on. We need to have change enacted by the people for the people. This is just horrendous. Our country is literally dying, and we have to do something to save it. The world is dying. My God, everything is falling apart.
Yeah, I think I spend too much time sometimes like doom scrolling on my phone in my like dark room on just like what's happening in the world, and so I just feel like I need to do something to follow that conversation's energy rather than do it in like my own head. So being out here like calling my representatives is like an easy action that I can take to try to like affect some kind of change, to have some
writing letters, writing postcards,
yep,
things like that. Yep.
Yep.
But you don't get the same sense of community,
yeah,
when you're sitting at home doing that. It's so empowering to know that there are other people around,
yeah,
us that are also sane.
And that's the hard thing about like the news and Instagram is you feel so isolated. And so coming out to something like this and realizing that like there is a big community.
Sam, what were some of your key takeaways from this interview?
Something that I took away from like what they said was, especially Emma, she was talking about how like, and I think she probably related to a lot of people, of like the environment around being on your phone, like doom scrolling and stuff like that, seeing all the social media activism and political stuff on there, and then kind of just feeling so defeated, but like, also, she kind of spoke about finding hope and like being productive in reaching out to like legislators and policymakers and reaching out to your government and finding your voice within government. I thought that was really important to mention.
My key takeaways was Alice's like apprehension about like giving her name and having like her identity obscured, because like she was wearing a dark pair of sunglasses, she was wearing like a face mask and everything to try to like cover up who she was. And there weren't any like counter protests or any like negative police presence. They were just there as like security and also like traffic control, because people were trying to come in and out of Target where like the main protest was set up. So I feel like her apprehension about everything was really like sobering, I guess. That's my biggest takeaway from this interview that we did. And when I say sobering, I mean like the reality is setting in that you can't protest and you can't really speak out without the fear of being retaliated against. I mean, obviously you're going to see like counter protests and things like that, but like to have your, to be physically threatened and fearful for your life or like your livelihood because of it. I feel like it's un-American to be fearful of like your well-being because you disagree with someone politically. That's a whole nother can of worms that I don't have enough time in the day to talk about right now. So that was like my biggest takeaways from her interview. Now, our second interview, we came across these two women that were sitting down in their lawn chairs. One had a sign and one had an American flag. The woman we talked to, her name was Linda. And after walking around for a little bit and taking some pictures, we sat down, or I knelt down and talked to her while she was sitting. And Linda's main reasoning for protesting was the Trump administration's executive overreach.
It's almost hard to say, but probably the most is taking executive power and taking away the checks and balances from America, because America has a checks and balance system. We have Congress, we have the courts, we have the executive branch. Donald Trump is taking away all the power from the other parts of government. He's taking away state power now by sending the National Guard into states that have asked him not to. It's frightening what's happening, and I hope people get a clue.
Sam, what are your thoughts on the Trump administration's expansion of the executive branch's power?
So she talked about how like the executive branch is kind of reaching with this whole sending having a military or National Guard presence and ICE presence in cities that, what did you call them? Safe cities? Sanctuary cities? And there has been some like resistance on the city's part of like, they don't really want that presence in their city. I think that was really like important to note that like, it's not wanted. Like, I know it's advertised like this presence and putting the National Guard into these cities is advertised as if it's to benefit citizens, but I feel like if there's like a collective opinion or feeling of like, we don't want this, then I feel like that should be respected. And I think that what Linda was probably trying to get at is that I think this administration is really pushing its boundaries with its citizens. I think they don't really care about violating people's rights or states' rights. I don't think they care anymore. I think it's very much seeing how much they can push and testing, like see how far they can cross the line. And I think nobody's really drawing a line anymore.
And I feel like that's a very valid like perspective on it, because yes, the Trump administration has been continuously pushing the limits on what they can and cannot do. But I want to clarify that the executive branch has been expanding every single administration. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Their power is reaching farther and farther and farther. So it's not necessarily unheard of, but I feel like with this administration, they are testing the limits and trying to backtrack a lot of the progress that we've made to fit their agenda. And they're using executive power expansion to go about executing their agenda. So I feel like it's kind of confusing to think about, is that they're reaching so far to try and pull us so far back in time, right? They're trying to force this regression onto the people from a top-down approach, and they're using executive power to do so. Trump is notorious for using his executive orders to try and implement policies that should go through Congress. Obviously, we're in a government shutdown right now. Nothing's going through Congress. So I feel like at this time, this is going to be his testing ground, I guess. This is his arena. Congress is shut down. He has all of the power right now to do pretty much almost everything he wants if he can get people to actually execute his agenda. This was also the interview that I started asking people about their thoughts on the Trump administration equating the No Kings protest with Antifa, which he recently designated as a domestic terrorist organization. So here is what Linda had to say about that.
Well, it's amusing first because people don't realize that Antifa stands for anti-fascism, which is anti-authoritarianism, which is anti-Nazi, anti-Hitler, anti-everything our fathers and grandfathers fought to avoid in this country. So I think it's amusing first, but it is terrifying that he's pitting Americans against Americans. That's what I find most sad. This is not about red versus blue. This is about us versus us. We're neighbors. We're friends. We should be able to all agree that freedom is more important than anything else.
Sam, what are your thoughts on equating No Kings and what we saw yesterday with a terrorist organization?
I think it's to try to be a little bit professional than I have been in previous episodes. I think it's kind of inappropriate to just throw around that term as if it's, I don't know, some childish like bully. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's too severe of a word and category and like a label of a group that should be taken seriously. To label what the protests, the demonstrations that we saw as terrorists is respectfully so ridiculous. Because it's like quite literally the opposite. If anything, they're going against terrorism. Like, if anything, all those signs are talking about fighting for equality and inclusion, which I can't believe we're still having to fight for just people, for people just being people. I think that's ridiculous that it's labeled as terrorism. Also, he's in a political, like, position. He's on a platform that he's supposed to be criticized. If he isn't, then that is allowing him to go unchecked, which we can't happen. That's literally not what our country is founded on. So I just think it's quite honestly ridiculous and stupid and childish to label any peaceful protest, especially the one that we saw the other day, as any relation with terrorists. Like, that's just not what it is.
And there were like roughly 3,000 protests across the country. It was a large organization of the No Kings protest. And I think that's what he's kind of like trying to equate Antifa with, because he had a roundtable about Antifa, which I want to do a whole episode on Antifa, which keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm hoping to have that out here in the next few weeks. But it is a large organization. No Kings went across the entire country. There was about 3,000 organized protests, and none of them were violent. So many local police departments posted about it saying, thank you for exercising your First Amendment rights. You guys did it peacefully. There were no protest-related arrests. And I feel like it was so pointed because the Trump administration likes to take protests that might turn violent or have the appearance of being violent and blasting them all over the social media, all over the news about how these are violent protesters, this is Antifa, they're or antagonizing, they're instigating riots and da-da-da. That is not what happened on Saturday. Not by a long shot. 7 million people came out again and said No Kings collectively in a peaceful manner. I've seen some police officers being like, you guys were on your best behavior. Thank you. And I was like, this is what we mean. This is what the reality is. And if you think it's anything but, then you're falling for Trump's propaganda. So then we come across this guy named Dean. He was loud and proud to be there. first and last name dropped. Like, he was not ashamed to be there. He was wearing a Navy, like a Navy vet hat. And he was also holding a flagpole that had both the U.S. flag and the Ukrainian flag on it. And here's what he had to say about the No Kings protest.
This is my second event. I was out here in June. I feel that we have to do everything that we can because this country is on a very nasty downward slope. And if we, people like us, don't come out and let people know what's going on, it has a very bad ending.
So, Sam, do you think that we're losing a grip on our democracy and that we're in like a downward spiral into authoritarianism and autocracy?
I would think it's probably justifiable if people do think that. I think that for me, it does give the impression and feel and look that we're no longer going to be in a democracy in potentially the next 3 years, which is concerning. Of course, for anybody, because life as we know it could be drastically different. The information that we're receiving could be drastically regulated and censored. We don't know where that's going to go. We also don't know what it's going to look like with immigration in the next 3 years. We also don't know what it's going to look like for peaceful protest, if that's ever going to, if that's going to be a thing in the next 3 years. Like, I think there's a lot of gray areas that we just are very concerned about how it's going to work out in the next 3 years, if that makes sense, at the end of this administration. If this is like, I think what's important to mention about the No Kings protest, I think a lot of people who are on the right leaning are so caught up in the word of no king. Like, we have no king. Like, that's just not what it is. But if you look at the behavior and like the way the administration goes about doing things and goes about informing our country and how they speak and the way they, their demeanor, I think it draws concern for where is this going to lead? Is it going to still be a president or is it going to be a king? We don't know yet. We don't have a king now, but what about in 3 years? Or what about in the next 10 years or whatnot? So I think, don't get caught up on the now presently of the no king. Like, so that just demolishes everything else that happened Saturday. It's more about just acknowledging that behavior now could lead to concerns for a monarchy or a dictatorship later on.
And Trump's response to the No Kings protest was a generative AI video of him flying in a plane with a crown on his head, dropping poop on the protests, which was crazy. So, like, you're literally depicting yourself as a king. Oh, what? Full stop. You depicted yourself as a king shitting on protests.
I saw that earlier and I thought that was a joke. Like, I was like, oh, that can't be real. Like, no way he would actually, like, I know he's childish. We all know it. I just didn't think he would actually, like, that's legit. Reported he reposted that or something. Like, what happened?
Hold on, I think it was on the official like Instagram page for the White House. Let me check. No, it was on his Truth Social. Hold on, here it is. I found it. So Trump posted it on his Truth Social account.
How dare he use a Top Gun theme song for that BS? Are we serious? Like, that's ridiculous. That's so childish. At first, when I first saw like the King Trump on the side, I thought that was like real. Like, I thought that was, like, because you know how AI videos are now coming, like, off as if it's, like, actually real. Like, sometimes I really get, like, mixed up in what's real and what's AI. I thought that was, like, real. And I'm like, I know where they're for, now he's forcing, like, military and Air Force to put that on the side of their aircrafts. But thank God it was AI, so it's not real. But, like, I think that's just very out of touch and childish. Like, that's a, like, the leader of a country. Like, a country. Mind you, like, this is supposed to be professional and he's making a joke out of his position and nobody's concerned about that. Like, obviously, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And in this case, a duck that's trying to come across as if he's joking because he doesn't take anything seriously, but it's coming across as if he wants to be a king. Like, he wouldn't turn it down, let's be real, if it was offered to him. So it's just shocking.
Now, there was already, like, a No Kings protest on June 14th of this year. And it was also the same day as the military parade that was in celebration of the 250th birthday of the Army. But it also was on Trump's birthday. I definitely think that it was for Trump's birthday. And it also might have been, like, a distraction from the No Kings protest. Because, imagine that. J.D. Vance hosted a military demonstration on Saturday at Camp Pendleton, which we were born on Camp Pendleton. And they were celebrating the 250th anniversary for the Marine Corps. Time out. The Marine Corps birthday is November 10th. Any American knows that the Marine Corps birthday is in November. Like, it's Veterans Day weekend. Funny enough, it's also our dad's birthday weekend. And then it's the Marine Corps birthday. So, like, they're all right there. Why would you celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps almost a month in advance? There was nothing for the Coast Guard birthday on August 4th. There was nothing for the Air Force birthday on September 18th. Nothing for the Navy on October 13th. But yeah, let's celebrate the Marine Corps birthday a month in advance, which just so happened to be on the same day as the No Kings protest. Like, obviously they're trying to pull the attention away from the No Kings protest. And they're just making, they being the administration, is just making themselves look so stupid. Like, you're trying to make an excuse for trying to use military force as a demonstration, as a show of strength, or whatever BS excuse they're coming up with. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm so irritated by all of it, because how many taxpayer dollars were wasted on this demonstration? And there are some really early reports that there was damage to some of the police involved, like, on the highway near Camp Pendleton, which is I-5. Like, it bothers me so much. And I'm so worked up about it. I honestly am.
It's giving, like, oh, pay attention to me. Like, I want some attention. Like, ooh, choose me. Pick me, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's... I think it's not funny at the end of the day, but it's, like, you have to laugh at it. Like, this is not real. Like, sometimes I really be questioning if, like, we just all died in 2020 and we're in hell now. Like, sometimes I question it. I'm just like, this is the reality we live in now. It's ridiculous. We're led by a bunch of childish grown men. Unfortunately, we have way too much of that in our country, in the world, if I'm being quite honest.
And I want to end on this note that the whole thing about designating opposing political views as terrorists, I'm not just talking about Antifa, but also saying that the Democratic voters and the voter base is comprised of terrorist criminals and illegal aliens or illegal immigrants. That whole thing is just really concerning. You should never demonize another political party in a way that, hold on, let me clarify this. You should never demonize a political party from an official government platform. I want to clarify that. Like, you see what's happening with the government shutdown and them using official government websites and official government, like, broadcasting systems, like TSA TVs, as a way to say that this is the Democrats' fault for the shutdown being there. I think that's vastly and wildly inappropriate. But of course, I'm going to do a more in-depth episode about Antifa and the criminalizing or the demonizing of the left ideologies. And that's going to be a little bit down the road. But keep that in mind as we go about the next few weeks and see how the administration reacts to the No Kings protest. I think they're just going to brush it off, saying, oh, it's just a bunch of little whiners. And of course, protesting is only so much you can, like, the protesting is only a little bit. It's only a little part of the puzzle. You have to contact your representatives at all levels, state, local, federal levels. And you have to, like, organize, go out, voice your opinion. And of course, we have, in a year, we have midterm elections. And you have to be educated on things that are going on and what these people's campaign platforms are and what they're trying to accomplish. There's so many things that we can do as a country to stop this Democratic backsliding that we've been seeing. And I hope people realize that this is an issue and it needs to be done. I hope the 7 million people that showed out on October 18th, I hope this made it abundantly clear that there's a lot of things that are wrong. And I hope people start waking up to it. Well, that is all I have for you today. So thank you for tuning into That's Politics, where Sam and I talked about our experience at the No Kings protest and what the protests were about. Come back next time where we will have another installation of the Debates with Dad series, where we will talk about the most recent Department of War meeting. I apologize in advance because it is a very long episode. To see source material used in this episode and to see some of the photos from the No Kings protest, visit the blog post for this episode on the official podcast website at thatspoliticspodcast.com. To recommend an episode topic, you can DM me on the official podcast Facebook page, or you can email me at MackenzieAtkinson@thatspoliticspodcast.com. I'm your host, Mackenzie Atkinson.
And I'm my little sister, Sam.
And I'll see you next time.